thinking big thoughts so you don't have to. Here's John Williams.
720 WGN and a happy Friday, everyone. John Williams is out today, and I'm here, John Hansen, here till 3 o'clock. Up until Ro and Anna coming at 3 o'clock, and on a Friday, feeling good on this Friday afternoon. The temperature's certainly not warm, and I think they're going to be the warmest they are for the next week. Got an Arctic blast of air coming through later on this weekend. Man, and, you know, when you talk about these Arctic chills, and now we're in meteorological spring, they're not that usual to get down to sub-zero, potentially, Monday morning and Tuesday morning. I think I was hearing Tom Skilling saying that in the last, 140, 150 years of recorded data in terms of weather, that the number of times we've been sub-zero in Chicago in March is something like 16 times. So you're talking about tens of thousands of temperature readings across our history, and at least recorded history, weather history here in Chicago, and only 16 times sub-zero in March. And not for sure if we're going to get it, but it looks like Monday or Tuesday morning. So I guess what I'm saying is it's Friday. Enjoy your temperatures here in the mid-30s while you got it. Tomorrow doesn't look too bad either.
Nice and balmy out right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, and Jen DeSalvo, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good. You sound like you've had a busy week like a lot of us have.
Yeah. I'm over this weather.
Yeah, you know, and once you turn that calendar to March, I think we're wired to be okay with it. Yeah. You know, December, January, February. But as soon as that calendar turns to March, you're like, okay, come on.
Yeah.
Even winter lovers are like, no, no more.
It's done.
Apparently they're out there. 312-981-7200. We'd love for you to join the conversation. But more importantly, we'd love for you to help us finish the headline. Okay, so this is what I do sometimes when I fill on in, especially on a Friday. We're keeping loose here. It's been a crazy week. The Michael Cohen stuff. No one wants to talk about that right now. I want you to finish the headline for me. And we got a couple prizes, Elif. It looks like we've got a desktop indoor weather station brought to you by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men. Call 855-955-HVAC. Okay, so you got to finish the headline. And Jen and Elif, I'd love for you guys to play along as well. All right, where do we want to start? Do you want to start in New Jersey or Pennsylvania? Jen, you can choose for me.
Let's go with Jersey.
Jersey. All right. Officials in Jersey City say four students have been charged with breaking into the computer system. And I won't tell you where because it'll give it away. What were they doing? Why did they break into a computer system? They used this keystroke login software. The teens were aged 15 to 17. Elif, if you're 15 to 17, what are you doing when you're hacking into a program? What are you trying to do?
Find a cheat code.
Find a cheat code. No, that's a good one. Like maybe they're playing, I don't know, Fortnite. Is that what people play?
And I guess.
They're trying to cheat at that? I don't know. Jen DeSalvo, you're 15 to 17. You're not, but if you were 15, 16, 17... You're a hacker. You're good at this sort of thing. What are you doing with that information?
Trying to turn my grades into A's at school.
That's right. It is grades. We got it on the first guess from Jen. You didn't even let the callers get a chance at that one. That's okay. That's why you wanted the Jersey one.
Oh, man.
This was at Dickinson High School, and they're being charged for changing their grades. Back in the old day, we just would look on over. Did you ever cheat in school, Jen? You can be honest. You have immunity now.
In ninth grade, I cheated in keyboarding, and I got caught.
How do you cheat in keyboarding?
Because I would do one lesson and print out two copies, and then friend would do one lesson and print out two copies, and that was the last time that happened.
And let's just, as a disclaimer, don't do it. Kids listening, that's not appropriate behavior.
It definitely isn't, but if, you know, you don't get caught, then you don't learn your lessons.
So. Oh, yeah, exactly. Elif, I cannot imagine you ever cheated, but you've got a look in your eye that maybe you did. Have you ever cheat in school?
I'm gonna humble brag here.
Okay.
Uh-huh. And I actually helped my friend cheat off of my test.
Really?
Yes.
How'd you do it?
Well, she sat next to me for like forever.
So it was the classic look over.
Yeah. I would just like, I'd angle my sheet towards her, and she would cheat off my math answers. Can you believe my math was that good?
exactly. She was cheating off the wrong person. 312-981-7200.
But I knew my stuff.
You knew your stuff, and you got it right. We used to have the I was in high school when the T-80 TI-83s came out, I think it was.
We could play Tetris on them.
You could play Tetris or that drug dealing game. I don't know if you ever played that,
Oh,
Jen.
I don't know that one. I just know Tetris.
We didn't do actual any drug dealing in high school. We just played it on our calculator.
Oh, gosh.
But you could write, you know, like write answers and like pass the calculator over. We shouldn't talk about any of this stuff, but it's what happened in high school. But no, these kids are, they are 21st century cheaters. They hacked in New Jersey, and they're in a little bit of trouble. Okay.
John.
What?
I just looked on my Facebook, and one of my teachers just followed me from high school. I hope she's not listening.
Is she the one?
Hi, Mrs. Davis.
Oh, it wasn't your class, wasn't Mrs. Davis. I'm sure teachers out there have seen it all. I know they're working right now. Any former teachers got a good cheating story? 312-981-7200. All right, let's keep on finishing the headlines. We're going to go to Pennsylvania for this one. I don't know if you're going to get this one, Jen. If you know the answer, don't do it, because I'd love for some callers to try and win this desktop indoor weather station. It's sort of related to traffic. That's why I want to have you chime in. So firefighters in Camp Hill, Pennsylvania, they put out a giant trash fire that was left on the road on Wednesday afternoon. It was a contents of a garbage truck had caught on fire, which is unusual in and of itself. I guess it happens sometimes with smoldering debris. They throw it in the garbage truck. They have no idea, and it catches on fire. So they had to put the fire out. They had to unload all the garbage. That's not the interesting part of the story, though. It's what they found in this garbage that is purely shocking. What would shock you to fall out of a garbage truck in the middle of the road that would make you take pause and wonder how the heck it happened? Jen, any guesses?
A human body?
No.
But that would make me pause.
That would make me pause, yes. Yeah. You answered the question correctly, but luckily, no, it was not that. So
John's like, wait, no, we're not going that far.
I know. This, you see the happy music? We're not talking about dead bodies out of the garbage. But you're closer than you realize. 312-981-7200. If you know what was in the fiery garbage that would really shock you in Camp Hill, Pennsylvania. So we're going to table that thought for just 1 second. I'm going to go to Matt. Matt, you're on the line, and I can tell this is something that you've held in your brain for a long time. What story you got for us, Matt?
The only time I've... By the way, hi.
Hello, Matt.
I love you.
Oh, thank you.
So I was in first grade.
First grade.
And I'm sitting next to somebody. First grade. And I'm sitting next to someone. And I kid you not, they came straight up to me, and not him, and they accused me of cheating. And I'm in first grade, but even I know not to cheat. And I said, that wasn't me. And somehow we magically got all of the same answers in two of our columns.
Uh-oh.
For our math test.
Uh-oh.
And I
you seem shaken up about it to this day.
I think he cheated off of me, which would be incredibly stupid because I can barely divide.
What was his name? Do you remember?
Michael.
Let's call Michael on up. Matt, yeah, I can tell that stings you. So you never cheated through school ever?
Ever. Not one.
Well, good for you, Matt. Nice work. Hey, thanks for the phone call. We appreciate it. 312-981-7200. I approve of Matt. That's really great stuff. Never to have cheated. Let's go to Patrick. Patrick, you're on WGN. How you doing?
No, it's not Patrick. It's Craig. But anyway, I was going to say someone's drugs.
No, that's not the answer, Patrick. Oh, we appreciate the phone call. No, it is not drugs. But it was large, this thing that came out of the garbage truck. It wasn't a dead human body. 312-981-7200. Back to the cheating for a second. Joe, you're on 720 WGN. You have any unique ways you know of cheating students?
Well, I had a student and a classmate write all the formulas on his corduroy pants. And as you look from the top going down his pants, the ink didn't show up so well, but coming from the other direction, it was like a sign.
So it depending on the direction is where you could see it. I see what you're saying, because it was corduroy. Since you've got like the little grooves in it, it would mask the cheating.
Well, the pants would be dark blue looking down the pants, and they would be basically white looking up the grain of the cloth.
That's clever cheating.
Wow.
That's something. That's going the extra mile. Joe,
well, the teacher caught him because he could see this whole lap was full of formulas.
Yeah, when you get up to go to the garbage or to the bathroom, that one's pretty obvious. Joe, thank you for the phone call. So, again, we're looking for the answer, either a good cheating story or what did the garbage crew in Pennsylvania find? And Jim, you're on WGN. Jim, what's your answer?
I'm going to say a dead dog.
No, and I know. And that's, I would never say that for that one because that would be, but it is a good guess. And I'd say we're getting warmer. Jim, thank you for the phone call. No, it is not a dead dog. Thankfully, Jen. I love how you gave a bigger gasp for the dead dog than the dead human body, by the way, Jen. I just got to say that.
They can't tell you what's wrong.
That, oh, you're right. 312-981-7200. We're looking for what was found in the garbage, on fire, unusual in Jersey. Quick commercial break and more on 720 WGN. All right, finish the headline. And I love hearing Liqueur, Friday I'm in Love. Puts me in the mood. All right, in New Jersey. No, this is Pennsylvania, excuse me. They had to put out a garbage fire in the middle of the road. The garbage truck had done its runs and it was smoldering. So they let all the garbage out. The fire department came. They sprayed down. They got the fire out and they found what? We had guesses of a dead body earlier. I said we were close. Let's go to Bob. Bob, you're on the line. What do you think that they found?
I think they found a big old mannequin.
No, it's not a mannequin, although that would freak me out as a garbage man, because I imagine there's that point where you don't know quite yet if what you found. But no, it was not a mannequin, but that is a great guess, Bob. All right, so we know it's not a dead body. We know it's not a live body. Or we know it's not a dead body, but Brian, what's your guess?
A live body.
No, it was not. I ruined the joke there, but no, yes, it was not a live body either, thank goodness. So not a dead body, not a live body. Let's go to Rick. Rick, you're on 720 WGN. What did they find?
They found a dead cow.
That is the correct answer.
Oh, my gosh.
A giant. I've seen a picture of this thing. Just a dead cow on the road. And by the way, 773 texted in a beef roast. Which I guess at that point, perhaps.
That could be a correct answer.
Yes, I think after, sorry to all the vegetarians and vegans out there. Hey, you're right, Rig. You've won a desktop indoor weather station brought to you by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Man. Call 855-955-HVAC. Rick, you stay on the line, okay?
Thank you very much.
Congratulations. Yeah, can you believe that, Jen? I know you've seen a lot of things in traffic.
Oh, yeah.
And I used to do traffic, too. The things you'd see come across the line would shock you.
You used to do traffic?
Yeah, I was a traffic worker here.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. And over at some other places, too. Yeah. Wow. I still know the whole language and everything.
But I don't know how I missed that one.
So, yeah, right. So this was years ago. Don't worry. But I am shocked. So they found this cow. It had nothing to do with the fire, by the way. But then the Pennsylvania Department of Agriculture talked about it. You know, there are rules in place for how to get rid of, you know, maybe it's dead cattle that you, maybe you're a farmer, I don't know, and that happens, of course. We've had a lot of cold temperatures recently.
Yeah.
Like, but how do you get, how do two garbage truck workers get that in the car, in the back of the thing? That's insane. Like, I know when you're making your rounds as a garbage man, you probably find some very strange things. But if you come up to a dead cow, you don't throw it in the back, do
or
you?
Or did they hit it and they tried to hide it?
That could be it. And then they tried to burn it, maybe? Maybe we've cracked the case. But they talk about, you know, rules for doing this stuff. The carcass can't be exposed to other living animals.
Yeah.
Or the public.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're supposed to bury them, I guess, or incinerate it. I guess that's halfway there.
Try to incinerate it.
And I hate to be so glib about a dead cow. Cows are wonderful animals, too. But my goodness, I don't know how that thing got in there. This one is an evolving mystery. Al, if we write a note, we need to have John follow up on this one on Monday, okay? Yeah, just make sure we do that. All right, you want to play another one more finish the headline here, Jen, with me?
Of course.
All right, and the listeners, too. 312-981-7200. Do you mind if I give away one of the pizzas, Aleph? We're going to give away one pizza, the Lou Malnati's gift certificate. Lou Malnati's, home of Chicago's best deep dish pizza. Find one of their 40-plus Chicagoland locations or order online at loumalnatis.com. All right, we are going to go to Pensacola, Florida. Oof. That's when you know you're going to get something interesting. So this one's out of Florida. I got to say from the start, this story ends up fine. It doesn't start great, but it ends up fine. All right, everyone warned? So this involves someone holding a family, a standoff hostage, okay? Everyone's fine. All right, okay. So don't text in. Authorities say a Florida man accused of threatening his family ended a four-hour standoff with police after he was promised what? So he had a standoff with police. There was a possible battery at the Pensacola home. He had barricaded himself in a room. He claimed to have a gun. Luckily, it all worked out. Crisis negotiators got there. And what did they do to get him out of the room and to make sure that everyone is safe? And I gotta say, I don't think I'd find myself in his situation, but it would probably be the thing that would get me out of that room. 312-981-7200. Because have you ever, I mean, have you ever watched a crisis negotiation team, Jen, or anything like that?
No. I have from afar. But,
right.
Yeah.
Well, you've never been in the middle of one. They used to, in high school, they would recruit us theater kids to actually train SWAT teams. They'd have us, like, play characters.
Oh, wow.
And try and, yeah, we'd get, like, on the back of a bus or something, and they'd have, like, a telephone in there, and we were meant to, like, try and be these people that would be in these situations to train SWAT people. It was a really interesting, unique look at how they do that.
Huh.
All right, so 312-981-7200. What did they lure this man in Pensacola, Florida, out of the hostage situation with? Let's go to Rick. Rick, you're on WGN.
I think they lured him out with a burrito.
Ooh, that's a good one. That is not the answer, Rick.
I'd leave for a burrito.
I would leave for a burrito, too. I'm out of there. Rick, would you do the same thing or no? Would you get out with a burrito?
I wouldn't take anybody hostage for anything.
All right, Rick, we're playing a game here. I know you would, and I trust you.
I would let someone go for corned beef and Swiss on rye.
That would be your negotiating tool.
That would do it. Or a bag of Garrett's.
A bag of Garrett's.
I was going to ask if it was a Portillo's chocolate cake.
Now that chocolate cake shake would do it for me, too.
True.
Maybe one for the shake. And again, I know it's morbid to talk about, joke about this. But no, it was not a burrito. Let's go to Jenny. Jenny, you are on WGN.
Hi.
Hey, Jenny. How you doing today?
I'm pretty good, thanks.
Happy Friday.
They brought him a pizza.
They brought him a pizza. That is the correct answer, Jenny. And I didn't even make the connection that, of course, we're giving you a Lou Malnati's gift certificate. Jenny, I know you would never be in that situation. I know you're sane and with it and all that stuff and a safe and peaceful person, Jenny. Would a pizza get you out the door?
That and a taco.
That's fine. What'd you say?
A pizza or a taco.
Just one taco? What about a combo?
Sure.
What about a combo meal? At least go for the combo, like three, maybe a side quesadilla too. I don't know. That's what I'm thinking.
It'd be worth it.
All right, well, tell you what, you have won a pizza, so stay on the line, Jenny. Can you believe that, by the way? After going through all of that, in all seriousness, it's a pizza that gets you done. But hey, whatever they had to do to get him out is the best thing for us. All right, 312-981-7200. We have time for one more. Finish the headline here, and this one comes to us from the Twin Cities, so the Minneapolis-St. Paul area, which there are very peaceful people up there, Jen, so I'm surprised that we got a wacky one out of this one.
Our John Williams spent some time there.
Yeah, maybe he'll know. John, call on in. You know the number. All right, so a woman was really upset in the middle of the night, and for some reason she had her golf clubs with her in the middle of the night. She was really aggravated with this one thing, and she decided to take out a golf club and just whack it forever. And police were able to track her down really easily. It's not an animal. It's not a person. No one was harmed in this. But it was really easy to track where she was, who she was, when she took a golf club to this.
Hmm.
So what in the middle of the night is making you so upset that you need to get a golf club out to try and get? I don't know. I can't give out too many clues.
I'd say my neighbor's hedge. It's nasty.
Oh, hedge.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Not head. Hedge.
Hedge.
It's overgrown. It looks weird. It's...
So you'd go out there in the middle
try
of the night
and
with the cover of darkness, Jen DeSalvo's going out in the middle of the night.
To chop a hedge.
To chop a hedge. I like that. It is not a hedge. And you're not that close, but that's okay. I appreciate the guess. 312-981-7200. So she was caught on surveillance cameras, more than one. And that's kind of important to the story. Easily trackable. This was around 2:15 in the morning. They didn't solve the case until the next day. What this was damage, this caused about $2,000 in damage to it.
Wow.
$2,000 in damage. She was really mad. Don't say it because I think we got some callers coming on in. 312-981-7200. Let's check the text line too. And people are texting in a few things. Let's go to Sue. Sue, you are on WGN. What's your guess?
Hi, thank you, and good afternoon.
Yeah.
You know, I like crazy news stories, and so I'm pretty sure the story was that she was very mad and whacked a ATM machine.
Yes, yes. She took, first of all, where is she getting the golf club? Is it just in the back of her car, maybe hers or her husband's golf club just in there? And she just, it wasn't working. She was trying to do her PIN. She had entered her debit card. So she went in and got the golf club.
Right.
But the biggest problem about, there's a lot of problems with this. But the biggest problem, obviously, you've put your debit card in there. Like, they know who you are. Have you ever gotten
that's
that angry?
That's pretty stupid.
You ever gotten that angry, Sue? Are you a calm person?
I have some anger issues sometimes, but no, I don't know. No, I don't act. I would not do something like that,
nothing,
of course.
Nothing like that. Hey, tell you what.
That's what the punching bag's for.
Yes, exactly. That's or go,
that's
to,
it.
Go to a gym, join the, boxing thing, or get a hedge. At least just knock down a hedge. That's fine. Knock down your neighbor's head. Sue, thanks for the call. Stay on the line,
thank
okay?
You
won a desktop indoor weather station brought to you by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling. And that'll do it for Finish the Headlines, a game I love to play, especially on a Friday.
The day paradise put up a parking lot. With a pink hotel, a boutique, and a swinging hot spot. Don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you've got till it's gone? They pay paradise, put up a parking lot.
720 WGN, John Hanson in for John Williams until 3 o'clock on this Friday afternoon. It's a Jody Mitchell version of Big Yellow Taxi. I love that song. And, boy, ain't that right. You don't know what you got till it's gone. Really cool story out of the Grand Canyon, of all places, as we hear the song continue underneath. It's a really sweet story. A national park ranger, her name is Elisa Shala. She placed a $5 typewriter from Goodwill at Plateau Point to the Grand Canyon and invited hikers to share their thoughts. Which, of course, have you ever been to the Grand Canyon, Elif? You've been there before? Yeah?
No, I
wow.
haven't.
Jen, have you been to the...
Never been there, but I'm sure there's some ultramarathons that I need to be
doing. You can run up the thing, the Grand Canyon.
Yeah.
Just put a Grand Canyon 10-mile and you'll be there. Anyways, they put this typewriter up on this Plateau Point. I mean, the Grand Canyon's awe-inspiring. There's no way around it. And as an 11-year-old, I'm sure I really appreciated it when I went there. And my parents really were really happy they spent the money to send me there to go there and just can't wait to get back to the hotel room and watch TV. Yeah, but... it was cool. I did like it. I've flown over it a couple times, too. Anyways, so this was the 100th anniversary, by the way, of the Grand Canyon establishing itself as a national park. So for 3 days, this was just earlier this year, visitors encountered something unusual. They do the 6-mile hike down to this overlook, and there was that desk and the Goodwill typewriter. And the ranger said, "Dear hiker, welcome to Plateau Point. You've hiked a long ways. Please take a seat in the chair and relax. Look around. Take it all in. What does this moment mean to you?" So it was a pop-up project, the brainchild again of the National Park Ranger. And she says that she wanted to put out a typewriter and see what would happen as visitors came upon it. So she had to carry this thing down in a backpack. Obviously, 6 miles is a long way. But she says in just 3 days, so a lot of people making this their way down there, hikers left 76 messages. So typed out messages. And I just love that it's a typewriter. Something old-fashioned. Obviously, a computer couldn't last the power. Typewriter's a great way. No one wants to handwrite all their notes. Plus, who can read everyone's handwriting? But they had a typewriter doing it. So here's some of the quotes. "Oh, so many miles. Blisters never make me smile. Really cramp my style." So some people did, you know, funny stuff. Someone said, "To me, this is a geological pilgrimage and a reminder of what my body can do. For all of this, I am grateful, especially because I get to share it with my dad." Which is very sweet. Another person wrote on in, "Hearing the words Grand Canyon and now experiencing it for the first time, I realize that the term grand falls far short of what this place truly represents, which is perfection." So for the park ranger who went down and then read these notes afterwards, it really talks about how the parks are really powerful places. They sure are. She went on to say that we need to provide more opportunities to give people the chance to stop and think and feel at the same time. And then give them a platform to share their experiences, which is so true. You know, I love traveling. I not as much as Steve Bertrand, obviously, or some of the other folks. But, you know, I have this problem where I'm always looking ahead to the next thing. I'm always thinking about the next thing happening. So I could be standing on a glacier in Iceland, which I've had the opportunity to do. And I sometimes catch myself thinking, I can't wait to get back into Reykjavik and try out this new bar. Or whatever the thing might be. Or if I'm, you know, just in Wisconsin on a lake house. I can't wait till I go to Vegas in a couple months. These are bad examples. But I just don't have the with for all to stop and appreciate what's there. And I feel like this lesson not only applies to when you're traveling or when you're, you know, at the Grand Canyon or visiting places, but in life too, like in moments, where you could kind of just capture where it is, whether it's, I don't know, your wedding day or really important stuff, just forcing yourself or everyday little things that are really cool, taking a moment to just realize what you have in front of you and to, you know, feel good about it. Try and remember it. Document it for later on for other people. I don't know if the story touched you like it touched me, Elf, but I feel really, maybe it's just because it's a warm, happy Friday. But do you ever feel yourself not finding the moments to really appreciate what's in front of you?
I do, but I've gotten really good at not being that way. Mm-hmm. Like, I try not to post every single thing on social media.
Right.
So, I guess I think for people who travel a lot, they can probably think of a lot of good places they've been where they really just felt, zen and, relaxed.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I think being relaxed is a feeling that we overlook a lot of the time because we're more interested in being, stimulated in some way.
Yeah.
Instead of, like just sitting somewhere, even reading a book.
Yeah. 312-981-7200. It made me think I wish that these typewriters could become a thing that you go and put other places. And that doesn't have to be the Grand Canyon or like moments in time you wish that you could not only reflect and enjoy the moment and where you are, but also like wish that you could read back pieces of advice or things from other people to help you enjoy that moment a little bit more, or where you would want to leave a few words for someone else. I don't know if there's like a place in your past. There's a couple for me. 312-981-7200. Love for you to join the conversation on this one. For where you would love to just sit and remind people that they should enjoy what they have in front of them. And for me, I go back. I was in a comedy group in college and a little bit beyond college because I lived down in Champaign-Urbana for a little bit longer. And I just loved the time on the stage. It was great. And you just kind of in those moments, especially when you're young, you think that those moments are kind of going to last forever. I wish that someone had put a typewriter maybe in the warm-up room where we used to always, you know, hang out before and after shows and just said, you know, this is a moment that doesn't last forever. Enjoy it. Type that down and then me to leave a note for someone else as well. 312-981-7200. My mom had texted, I was talking to her about this, and she said that she wishes that someone had left a typewriter in the maternity room so that she could shuffle through the letters as she was. I was a 36-hour labor baby for her, and she wishes she could have read the letters of proud mamas before they're in that room to just remind her that she'll get through it, it'll be okay, and that she could leave a letter for someone else, which I thought was really sweet. 312-981-7200. I don't know where you would go or what you would do to try and leave that mark for someone. And if you know it's somewhere across the globe, I know Steve Bertrand, you've done countless travels all across the area. Don't know if you have like a favorite spot that you wish people could stop and reflect at a little bit more. I don't know if you've gone to the Grand Canyon or...
I've been to the Grand Canyon. I think it's what Elif said, though. You just have to stop and... You said it, too. Take it in and take... I asked someone who travels a lot where his favorite spot was. And he kind of hesitated, and I said, you're right, it's not about the spot, it's about the experience.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, when you just asked me now, I just thought of sitting with my family at a cafe in Copenhagen last year, which was just a great moment. I wouldn't say it's a spot that everyone needs to visit, but, you know, it just was a great experience.
Yeah, I feel like so many, like, I don't know if you feel this way, Steve, but I know if I feel like, oh, this is really cool, I pull out my phone, and I take a picture and try and upload it onto Instagram or on Facebook. I think my intentions are right. I think I'm trying to document it and say, look at how cool this is. I either wish you all were here to see it or this is great. But instead of just taking a moment to, you know, not pull out the phone, maybe write down those thoughts or something that you could look back at. Because there's nothing more wonderful than like that tangible piece of paper that you have afterwards. We're going to take a quick commercial break. Love your thoughts on this. 312-981-7200. More coming up on WGN. WGN, John Hanson in for John Williams until 3 o'clock. Talking about a cool story out of Arizona, the National Grand Park, Grand Canyon National Park, I should say. One of the rangers brought a typewriter down to Plateau Point. Give everyone an opportunity to write a few words, old-fashioned style, on the typewriter and leave kind of love letters for the park or for future visitors to read. And we just kind of got me thinking about places and things that make you stop and appreciate what's around you. And I wish there was a typewriter in a few more places that we could leave some notes for those coming after us to appreciate things a little bit more. Let's go on the phone lines. Let's go with Earlene. How are you doing this this afternoon on WGN?
I'm good. I'm fine. I wish I was there to type on that typewriter.
Right? I mean, the Grand Canyon's this awe-inspiring, majestic. You can't help but stop and think, and what a great way to type out some words. So you've been there then, yeah?
Yeah, I was there about maybe 5-6 years ago with my husband, and the whole trip was just unexpected because we went through Sedona up into the Grand Canyon, which that in itself is a lovely place. But we had a real kind of, not off-the-wall guy, but I think his parents were groupies somewhere. And okay. He just explained everything to us in a different perspective. Like he told us, you know, you don't, you got to carry a water bottle in, don't ever go without water. He'd explain things to us, but he didn't say it in a demanding way. But what he taught us that day was, when you're standing there and you're looking over that peak, to look down at that, not look at what's there, but look at what's not there.
Hmm.
To get that, you know. And I've tried to use that when I go other places, and it seems to serve me well.
Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, because I think we all try and say, oh, look, you know, there's that tree, there's that steep cliff. Oh, you can see the sediments, you can see the river. But thinking about what isn't there is fascinating to think about.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Earlene, that's wonderful. Thanks for calling us, 720 WGN. There's something about the Grand Canyon. Are there other places out there, maybe if you haven't been to the Grand Canyon, there are other places where you just can't help but stop and be in awe? John, you've been to Plateau Point on WGN.
Yes, about 2 summers ago. Actually, it might have been late March. I hiked down to Plateau Point.
How was that hike? 6 miles seems like a long way.
Well, the 6 mile going down is no problem. The coming back is the problem.
Yeah, that's true.
In shape, and it's like being a religious experience for me. I mean, I've been in church in the presence of God, but really, I felt more in the presence of God when I was standing at Plateau Point. I could have spent the whole afternoon there. It was just wonderful. But what I brought back with me was a 360-degree video on my phone that I carry with me all the time. And I show it to people whenever I can. And it's just wonderful, marvelous, spectacular place. At that point, you're still 1,200 feet above the river, and you look straight down from that point right onto the river. It's still a bit of a stretch down to the river.
John,
but it's marvelous. It's exhilarating.
If there was a typewriter there, what would you have left for the next visitor that
came
by?
Holy cow! I don't know, but I would have said something about marvelous, exhilarating, the presence of God, something like that.
That's great stuff, John. Thanks for the phone call. Yeah, I think so much in our everyday life, and that's why I think traveling is such a great thing. And there's places. I mean, if you have a limited budget, limited amount of time, there's great places. Starved Rock, of course, is a great opportunity to get and see some nature. Places in northern Wisconsin, Minnesota as well.
I have one.
Yes, Elif. Go ahead.
So in Turkey, there's a landmark. There's a museum. It's ginormous.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a great hall.
What
but
kind of museum
bigger.
Is it for?
Well, it's called the Hagia Sophia. And most people who have been through Turkey, who have been there, stopped there, visited there, know what this is. It's this ginormous religious structure that was built during the Byzantine Empire. And everything about this building is handmade, which makes sense because
mm-hmm.
it's the Byzantine Empire. But think about the number of hands.
Right, without machinery.
No machinery, and there's like a walkway that was built brick by brick that they take you through when you do a tour, and they just explain how it sloped this way, and it's not perfect because it's done with human hands.
Right.
I just sounded like such a dork.
I love it. If you had a typewriter there, what would you have left for the next visitors that came on through?
Appreciate the people who did this for you to appreciate the beauty of this place.
Yeah. Stop and think. 312-981-7200. I saw another thing in the story about this ranger, this National Park ranger who brought the typewriter down to Plateau Point in Grand Canyon National Park. And one of the letters said, "Today I ponder the new year." So this is right around the new year. "Amidst a landscape shaped by a millennia, it is all relative, a matter of time and scale. I am humbled by this place. And that it does, it's a real easy way to take you out of body, out of the rush of everyday stuff, and just kind of realize, and some people get depressed by this, but how quick we're here. And you look at something that's been shaped over time. I mean, literally, it's water that over time, most of our listeners know this, but water over time from the Colorado River digging deeper and deeper, erosion digging deeper, creates this giant scar in our earth. And here we are debating Mark Meadows and Congresswoman Tlaib. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it just makes you think, like, okay. Like, and there are important issues, don't get me wrong. And there's people that are fighting for their civil rights and liberties, and people on both sides of the aisles with legitimate gripes and arguments about making their lives better. And but, man, just take a moment to realize, you know, how short of a time we are here. Text from the 815, the Blue Ridge Mountains will take your breath away. Simply spectacular. Yeah, I've visited, driven through the Blue Ridge Mountains, back and forth over to Washington, D.C. A great place. 312-981-7200. Love to hear any other thoughts on places that kind of leave you awe-inspired or moments in time that that leave you wanting to give a message to people that come after you.
I do have one more.
Okay, yeah.
There was this beach also in Turkey, because I go there a lot. My family is from there.
Mm-hmm.
And I had never been to this part of Turkey. And it's like on the, I think it's on the Aegean side.
Okay.
I'm not 100% sure, but it's the Aegean.
I'm pulling out my map right now to check it out. Okay.
And we stayed at this hotel that isn't all that fancy. It's just, or a motel, rather. You just get a room there. Mm-hmm. And all you do all day is swim, and you are served food. And that's all you do, is you just relax on this simple beach. Nothing special, but it's just beauty. I'll show you pictures.
Okay, yeah. It is interesting that we're talking all about this on radio. You have to close your eyes and imagine. But that's what we do. We paint pictures. 224 suggested that maybe this upcoming Mother's Day, which coming up now in a couple months, we should all do something for Mother Nature to appreciate and pass that beauty on. Plant a tree, buy an electric car. This texter says, I'm no tree hugger, but she, meaning Mother Nature, can be pretty awe-inspiring. Yeah, nature is a great way to kind of put things into context. I know I sound really hippy-dippy on this Friday, but I'm in that kind of mood, and I just love reflecting and giving everyone a chance to take a moment to think about things bigger than themselves, bigger than what's happening today in politics. The 847 texted in, been to Niagara Falls a number of times. Awesome every single time. Northern Indiana, the Indiana Dunes, the beaches, beautiful, zen, simplicity, calm. Yeah, and that's really close on by. Great opportunity to go on there. We're going to take a quick commercial break, get more of your thoughts on how you can reflect, slow down, and just enjoy things a little bit more on 720 WGN. Kind of talking about awe-inspiring places that make you think and make you reflect on maybe what you've got and to appreciate it a little bit more. Let's go to Debbie. Debbie, you're on WGN.
Okay. This happened like a week after John F. Kennedy's eternal flame had been lit.
Oh, okay.
My family had gone to Washington, D.C. We went to see that. We also went to the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm 67, like I said, right now. I keep telling friends of mine that are going to Washington, D.C., please go see it, because you won't regret ever seeing that. I mean, you think about yourself as being alive, and all the tombstones are in line perfectly. I mean, there's not a single one of them, and the guards stay there, they have a 24-hour, mm-hmm. like, guard thing there, and I've got to say, it was very, very emotional for me and my family at that time.
Debbie, did you have a lot of family members in the military? I can hear you're moved by it still now, these years later.
Actually, my dad was in the Army in World War II, I think,
mm-hmm.
and World War One, they went to France.
Yeah, yeah, fought in the trenches,
but,
I'm sure. Yeah.
And I mean, he was in Normandy.
Yeah.
And my sister went to Germany and saw that, and she was very moved by that.
Yeah,
but anyway, I just, yeah,
yeah.
It
It makes you realize that there are problems that we face every day. While there are serious and we have honest debates back and forth, that a place like that reminds you of the broader picture. Debbie, thank you so much for the phone call. We appreciate it.
Okay, thank you.
Have a good Friday afternoon. Yeah, Arlington National Cemetery, always powerful. When I lived in D.C. very briefly 8 years ago, working in politics, this is going to connect to the next segment I'm going to do, but it was that was somewhere I'd go just to kind of have a little peace, quiet, and just to reflect a little bit.
There's a spot on the back of the Lincoln Memorial that if you look up the hill across the river where you can just see the flame flickering, that's one of my favorite places.
Oh, it is. It really is a great spot back there. Yeah, there's a lot of places in D.C. that make you stop and think, which is ironic because it's the place that makes us think a little bit less every single day. John Hansen in for John Williams until 3 o'clock. Love for you to join the conversation. 312-981-7200. We were talking in the 1 o'clock hour kind of about awe-inspiring places, and we obviously started with the Grand Canyon. We had a lot of interesting texts come on in about different places. A lot of people with the Indiana Dunes, which is nearby, because they mentioned, you know, not everyone can pick up everything and go out to the Grand Canyon. It's not the cheapest place in the world to go visit. Elif was mentioning Turkey. That's a great place if you can get there. I got to go to Iceland last 2 years ago now, which was wonderful. There was one really great text from the 847. And this person also admitted that I am a little bit of a hippy-dippy, but that's okay. 847 saying, if you can't travel, look at the nearest tree or bush and amaze yourself looking at the formation of the branches, the buds, and the amazement of its life cycle. It puts you into an amazing zone. And that is true. I've done some minor gardening. I've also killed my fair share of plants, unfortunately. But yeah, there's something about the resurgence of plants, which eventually we'll see after this cold spell comes through. Eventually, yes, we know the passage of time. The Earth's axis stuck at 22.5 means eventually it will warm up here and we will see the plants come back. There's just something outside of yourself, obviously, when you're seeing that cycle of the plants rejuvenate and come back and how they reproduce and create new ones and all that sort of stuff. I'm really getting deep on this Friday, Olive. I think I'm just sick of talking about all the politics that we have going on. They're great things to talk about.
You must have politosis.
Is that a thing? I like that.
In John's mind, did it? John Williams.
John Williams' mind? He calls it politosis?
I think we need to play the commercial for it.
Does he have a commercial for politosis?
Well, we advertise a fake politosis remedy.
Uh-huh. Dude, yeah, we can cue that up a little bit later on if we need it. So it's just from it's just for talking too much about politics? I don't know.
Yeah, it's when politics induce stress in you, any kind of stress. Your cat joins a gang. That's my favorite line.
Wait, what?
You start swallowing your teeth or something.
Okay.
You lose sleep.
All right. Politosis. Common. Well, I think I've got it. And here's where I really knew that I was just in a weird state of mind this week. It was yesterday, and Enrique and I were we watch the news every single night. And this is my own fault. We watch it from 5 p.m. Through when we go to bed. Just each new talk show host after each new talk show host, digesting the news we've already heard 10 times.
That's like our occupational hazard.
Yes.
We have to live in it, otherwise we miss something and we sound like idiots.
Exactly. I mean, there is. You're right. There is some truth to the fact that we're supposed to talk about these things and be a part of it. But the Michael Cohen hearing was interesting to me. I watched almost the entire thing. And the moment that stuck out, though, was at the end when earlier in the hearing, Congressman Meadows brought out Lynn Patton, which she's a black woman. She's worked for the Trump organization, the Trump administration. She stood behind him at the hearing, and she was there to kind of reflect that even though Michael Cohen is saying that Donald Trump is a racist, here's someone that works for Donald Trump and has for a long time that doesn't feel that that's the case. And that in and of itself, just using one person to represent a race, Congresswoman Tlaib found to be racist, and she said so, and there was a back and forth. I'm sure you've all heard this now, this argument between the two of them, and I don't want to rehash that. Each side has a point there. And then Congressman Elijah Cummings, the chair of the report, he mentioned that him and Mark Meadows were good friends, and it didn't seem like an ingenuine thing. He said, no, yeah, we're close friends. We're friends on this committee. Maybe they're more work friends than they are going out and having drinks or doing whatever, but he mentioned they were friends. Well, the news came yesterday that on the floor of the House, I don't know if you heard about this, folks, but it was not for the cameras per se, but on the House floor, they have that steady camera on C-SPAN, and they were doing some vote about gun buyer background check periods, ironically. And so they're voting, and you kind of just see on a wide angle two people embrace in a hug, and it's right actually between the aisles, sort of metaphorically and literally. And it was Mark Meadows and Congresswoman Rashida Tlaib from Michigan. And they hugged. They hugged it out. And I almost, Jen, I kid you not, I almost started crying.
You thought you were watching an episode of The West Wing?
Yes.
I see something like that.
Yes. And I think it was because I'm just so sick of the fighting that occurs. And it's not necessarily only between the politicians. It's between us. It's between friends. I consider myself more on the left than the right, but more in the center than a lot of my friends. In fact, I usually make liberals more upset than conservatives. But I have conservative friends, and it is ripping families and friendships apart. And here's my only point about this, because it brought me joy to see that these two people hugged. And it brought me joy in that hearing for Cummings and Meadows to talk back and forth that they were friends and to try and stand up for one another and try and defend him in that moment. So I worked in Washington, as I mentioned earlier, just for a short 6 months. Started as an intern, then was a communications staffer for a senator. Wrote a lot of speeches, and I would go out to the bar near the Capitol, and there having a beer together fairly frequently was John Boehner. I can't remember if he was speaker then. Maybe he was. I think he had just become speaker in 2010. Yeah, just after the election. Maybe he wasn't sworn in yet. But with the majority whip at the time, Steny Hoyer, soon to be the minority whip. And these two people, hours beforehand, had been jabbing each other for sound bites, really trying to rile up bases. And here they were at a bar having a beer together afterwards.
Yeah, sometimes I think that it's all just, you know, it's your job. You know, you and I don't turn off our jobs when we go home, but many people turn off their jobs when they go home. And I think a lot of times that's how politicians are.
But if they can have beers together, why can't we? I really think that their rhetoric and their inability to show that congeniality, that friendship, when Cummings was talking about a return to normalcy, I think he was talking about getting rid of some of this rhetoric. And it's both sides of the aisle. I think Republicans are great at riling up the conservative base. It then translates to the Fox News anchors, which then translates to folks that identify more as conservative. Liberals do it too. Left does it, absolutely does it too. They rile up their base. They try and attack any conservative value that they can. The MSNBC anchors then in the evening, not the anchors, but the people that host the opinion shows, they spew it to their base, and it just creates such vitriol.
But I like your take on it. I mean, I do blame the politicians for it, because they very rarely show us that they, if we were to believe their act,
right,
it would be that the other side is stupid and evil and wrong and mean all of the time. And you know, I'm sorry about that.
Yeah, I just wish we saw. Why was the hug so hidden? Why can't that hug be something more? Why can't we have more committee hearings? And they still usually, for the most part, keep the formality of my friend across the aisle, my colleague. And I do appreciate that formal way of doing things. And I'm not trying to discredit legitimate conversations that this country needs to have. But I think that the discourse gets completely blown out of the water. And it is our politicians' fault. So if you're sitting there on the left or you're sitting there on the right and you're upset at whatever's happening, blame the politicians on your side of the aisle, too. They are just as much to blame. I do not, even if they're spewing hatred for something that you believe in, something that you support, I wish more people would speak up and say, even though I agree with a lot of what you're saying, you need to tone down the rhetoric. We had a text from the 773. I saw that. I don't think he hugged her. I saw his hands at his side. Nope, I've seen it. In slow motion, I almost cried over it. There was a hug, pretty clearly a hug between the two of them. At least that was my interpretation. I have to watch it again. But like, I just don't get why there can't be more of that and more people talking about it, because they really do whip us up in this fervor.
Well, I think that's part of the problem, though. We are a product of what we see in mm-hmm. here, right? So the problem is that we need something to imitate, and we imitate what we see on TV, in real life, in politicians who we all know aren't always that credible. Mm-hmm. And it can be left, it can be right, doesn't matter. But I think the problem is that we always just want to find someone to look up to and to be like.
Right. I think the real issue is when you have a leader, and that's a good point, Elif, when you have a leader that you like, a congresswoman, a senator, you know, the president, whoever it is, whoever you like, and they're spewing this hate, and we were in these teams. He's your leader. She's your leader. And you want to rally behind what he or she is saying and push against your friends that share the opposite beliefs. I wish at the end of it, or after they had these conversations, they saw, yes, but, you know, we can still shake hands. We can still break bread. And they showed those tender moments between these colleagues working together so that then when the conversation, when they're done at the microphone, and it translates now to the shows, to these shows, to the shows on TV, and to the personal conversations that happen not only in face-to-face, but more often than not online, that then we could, you know, when that handoff happens, if the geniality follows with it. Does that make sense? I don't know.
Yeah. Do you think, though, that the problem is that... that we don't see that as much?
Yes. I don't think they want to show us that congeniality. And I think we need it. Like, I was really proud. I voted for Hillary Clinton. And when Donald Trump was inaugurated, he, after the inauguration ceremony, which, by the way, Hillary Clinton went to with Bill Clinton, they sat there. That could not have been easy. Hillary Clinton was at the congressional lunch that happens after the inauguration. President Trump got up and pointed at Hillary Clinton and said, I'm really happy you're there. I have a lot of respect for you, too. I almost cried in that moment. Maybe the lesson is that I cry way too much about politics. But I just loved the at least there was a human moment there between two enemies.
And, I think you're right.
And it was great to see. And boy, and it was a great moment. Even the commentators were saying that was wonderful. Can we get a little more of that, please? Can we just see a little bit more of these hugs, these handshakes, that they do have beers together? I remember once I was watching Parks and Recreation, a show that aired on NBC, and Senator Booker and Senator Orrin Hatch, they did a joint appearance on that show together in a cameo role, and it was really funny. It was really sweet to show these two people who could not be more different in their views, Senator Hatch, former Senator Hatch, I believe, and now presidential candidate Cory Booker. And I think we love to be riled. I think part of it's also we love to be riled up. We love being in our camps. We love choosing our sides. It's fun to be part of a team. It's fun to try and beat that other team. And we're always in election mode now. Elections don't stop. 2018 midterm ended, and we were immediately on 2020. But I really think it is up to the politicians. I mean, it should be up to us to try and disseminate these things. But I think it is up to the politicians to bring back that state of normalcy. And I think it can be done by just showing that there is some love between these people. These are people at the end of the day. I think we sometimes build up who these Congress people are and these senators are, but they're human beings. They have faults and mistakes, and they have things that are wrong with them just like we do. And they have agreements, and they have disagreements just like we do. And by their leadership, it could really help, I think, the national discourse. What I don't think they might quite realize how much they're responsible from some of the hate, some of the violence that happens because of this thing, and setting up a country that is so angry at each other that we cannot just have a natural discourse. John Hanson in for John Williams till 3 o'clock. Ryan Burrow joining me. Ryan, I don't know if you caught any of the conversation I was having about these politicians that spew this vitriol and then they go have beers with each other. Same thing with congressional staffers. Yeah. And then it leaves the rest of us in their wake. And then we just can't talk to each other anymore because of their actions. I don't know if you have any thoughts about that as someone who lived in Washington.
Yeah,
for a bit.
We were talking about that. I spent a little time in Washington, D.C., and it's weird because, you know, the city kind of runs on 20-year-olds.
Yes.
Essentially putting all this stuff together, and then they go off to Hawk and Dove and Capital City Brewery and Froggy Bottom afterwards and go get drinks, and then we're all left with the mess.
Yes, it's like a game to them.
Yeah,
it really is. And is it up to us to realize that and be a little calmer, or do they need to have more tender moments like Tlaib and Meadows hugging on the House floor?
I don't know. I mean, I think...
Has it gotten worse, Ryan? I ask you that. Well, Has it gotten worse or not?
I feel so, and I think that it probably comes down to gerrymandered districts. I mean,
really?
which brings out the extremes of everything.
It's a really
good
point that there isn't centrist politics anymore. There, you don't find the middle. You find the extreme and play up to your base.
Exactly. I mean, if each of these parties, both parties included, you know, they both have their strongholds in certain states, can draw it up in a certain way that they can get 52-53% of the votes, knock down the opposition, and then run however they want with it in Washington, D.C.
That's a really interesting point. I hadn't thought about that. Let's go to the phone lines. Paul, you're on WGN. Welcome to the program.
Hi. I just wanted to mention there's a book out called Tip and the Gipper Tip O'Neill and Ronald Reagan.
Former speaker.
How they would get together after hours and talk about what they had to do to get stuff fixed. And it's pretty informative and very good reading.
Yeah, Paul, thank you very much. And yeah, I agree, there was great relationships between Tip O'Neill, Ronald Reagan. LBJ was a strong hand, but he was able to share drinks with Rayburn and others to try and get things done.
So my internship at C-SPAN, my job was to cut up the LBJ tapes when they were first released. Oh my gosh, the things I heard come out of that man's mouth.
You probably didn't have a dump button with you, but you had a lot of beliefs.
Believe me, I had to do a lot as far as that. And a lot
of talk about his pants, right?
Oh gosh, how many conversations did the man have in the bathroom, too? I can't even tell you how many times you could hear a toilet flush in the background while he was having serious conversations with people. Even this would have been 2001. Even at that time, there were parts of his conversations about Vietnam, about Martin Luther King, that would get completely bleeped out. Like, they were still under wraps. Yeah. Wow. Even to that point.
Yeah. LBJ is fascinating. I guess it's a matter that, you know, I don't know if these politicians break bread like they used to, the ones that we're talking about, but it does happen. I mean, really, sure. I don't doubt that Meadows, and I don't think that necessarily Meadows and Cummings are going out to dinner every single night, but I feel like they have a friendship there. You're there every, and we also only see these people for blips of time on TV. They spend a lot of time in these long hour committee hearings.
Sure.
You can't help but develop a friendship. Why can't we see more of it?
Well, and the other thing is, too, they see each other face to face in a room, whereas we can lob bombs at each other via Facebook or whatever, and we don't see each other, you know, and we all kind of live in our own little bubbles, and we don't have to interact with certain people, and sometimes we choose not to, and as a result, we can throw these bombs.
815 texted in, wasn't it Maxine Waters who challenged the Democratic people to push Republicans out of restaurants to yell and jeer at them? Yeah. There's also Donald Trump who challenges people to beat people up that were protesting his speeches. Both are wrong. Like, I don't like either side of it. We have to establish a discourse, and I think Maxine Waters was wrong to suggest that. Doesn't mean you can't be passionate about an issue. Doesn't mean you shouldn't care about an issue. It just means that there should be a certain amount of decorum that's there. I love this text, Ryan, 815. I agree with you 100%, but most of the hate comes from the Democrats.
Here you go.
All right, at least you agree with me that we should be, and then there's your thing. Hey, we're going to go to news in just a little bit, but this Warmbier.
Yeah,
it's a terrible story. Obviously, what happened to him, and it's kind of blowing up. I think because a lot of people are upset with Donald Trump how he reacted, and now his family has come out, right?
Yeah, they released a statement saying we have been respectful during the summit process, referring to Kim Jong-un and Donald Trump meeting in North Korea earlier this week, but we must now speak out. Kim and his evil regime are responsible for the death of our son Otto. Kim and his evil regime are responsible for unimaginable cruelty and inhumanity. No excuses or lavish praise can change that. They're reacting to what President Trump said during that news conference where he said that that Kim felt badly about what happened to Otto Warmbier. He knew the case very well, but he didn't know it till later. I don't believe that he, referring to Kim, would have allowed that to happen, and saying that he didn't know about it. So essentially, for the first time, kind of separating Kim from what happened to Otto Warmbier, and that's not sitting well with Warmbier's family, who, by the way, remember, Trump invited to the 2018 State of the Union address. I mean, he spoke out very strongly against Kim, and following this meeting, he seems to have kind of separated these two, Kim from what happened to Otto Warmbier.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people are pulling allusions from Saudi Arabia after the murdered journalist. Oh, I believe the Crown Prince, pulling out that I believe Putin about that they didn't meddle in the election. You know, I think Donald Trump, for many people, and Michael Cohen talked about it, it's intoxicating to be around him, that he has a strong presence in a room. But, and I'm not trying to say that he bows down to every dictator, but he certainly seems to believe what a lot of them have to say. I don't know if it's because he's in their press conference, he's trying to be kind while he's there in the country, and then when he comes home, he can sort it out. I don't know if he just feels uncomfortable with the tension. I don't know what it is.
Maybe. I mean, he may have just wanted to take a pass at that, because I think that when he came back to the United States, that statement alone made things a lot worse, especially with the Warmbier family. And, you know, they're in the middle. They're suing North Korea right now for $1 billion.
Wow.
And, they believe very much that North Korea is to blame, and specifically Kim is to blame. And to think that he didn't know what was going on just completely baffles them.
Well, right. It's almost like President Trump himself, when Michael Cohen says anything that happened to the Trump organization had to go through through then-candidate Trump or President Trump. I believe that. And same thing with these strong dictators. They know what's going on in their country, and nothing happens without them saying so. Has the president said anything since then? Has he tried to clean it up, or has the White House come out with any statements trying to clean up what happened?
You know, Kellyanne Conway came out and spoke with Fox News and said what the president is saying is that there was no indication that Chairman Kim knew what happened to Otto Warmbier when it happened. It was after he was returned here in the United States that we learned of his very sad and frankly unforgivable state. But remember, okay, so Warmbier was in a coma when he came to the United States and then died 6 days later. And to this day, we still don't quite understand what happened over that 6 day span or what happened just prior to that, how long he had been in the coma and everything like that. We know that he had been there, according to, North Korea for months in that kind of condition. So, you know, they're still trying to get answers. And this Conway statement here makes it seem as though, you know, they're referring more toward his death, which was in the United States versus what happened to him in North Korea.
Right. Which caused the death, of course. It's interesting. Politicians on and off the record have said that, President Trump seems to go with the last thing he's heard sometimes. You want to be the last one to speak to President Trump before he makes a decision. It's usually the most influential one. And it might be that's the last one he had talked to about that sort of thing. And he seems to be convinced by it.
Well, there's another wrinkle to all of this, the summit today, where the president left Vietnam saying that Kim Jong-un had insisted, well, in fact, it's in my headlines in 2 minutes, but had insisted. just
good tease.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah. I'm trumping myself here, forgive me. But that the North Koreans insisted that all sanctions be relinquished in exchange for their nuclear cuts. That's what the president said. And now there are U.S. aides agreeing with the North Koreans and saying no. What the North Koreans wanted were all sanctions imposed since 2016. So the president seems to be being undercut by his own staffers here, saying that what he told us, the reason he walked away, was not true.
Does it seem that he's trying to go in and he was trying to be strong no matter what and not come away with the deal? I don't know. That's interesting. All right. Well, guess what, Ryan? Thanks for stopping on by the way. We really appreciate it. WGN. Oh, man, everyone's bobbing their head I see on the cameras here. How can you not? John Hansen in for John Williams just for a little bit longer, up till 3 o'clock, and then we'll have Rowan Anna in, obviously. And, Elif, what are we listening to right here?
This is Fleetwood Mac. They're going to be playing the United Center tonight at 8. Tickets start at $72 on Ticketmaster.
I didn't know that they were playing the United Center until the Wintrust Business Lunch. They mentioned that. I love Fleetwood Mac. Are they still like a band that's all... I don't know much about Fleetwood Mac. Are they all together, or was it original? I don't know. Some people have died off. I have no idea.
They've gone through some stuff. I'm sure there's been a death.
Is it like Journey, where, you know, not many people are left from it? I don't know. If anyone's a Fleetwood Mac expert, 312-981-7200. Because their songs are great. Go Your Own Way is just something that I love every single time I hear it.
Well, and I think Lindsey Buckingham still does shows separate from them.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, sounds good. All right, so we're going to be talking about what's going on this weekend, events going on across Chicagoland. And Jen, you're going to help me out with this, right?
I am.
All right, I'll start out with the first one.
Go for it.
I should have you read this one instead, but it's the Women's Feminist Film Festival, which men can participate in, too, of course. In fact,
they should totally do it.
They absolutely should do it. Many of men are. Mm-hmm. From 3 until 10, or just after 10 tonight, at Columbia College's Chicago's Film Row Cinema. Tickets are free. More information at ChicagoFeministFilmFestival.com. A lot of F's there.
Well, today is the first day of meteorological spring, comes running season. Yeah,
you're a big runner.
I am.
That was sarcastic. But,
okay, I'm like maybe he doesn't know.
I follow your Instagram stories. I don't know how you do it while you're running. That's my thing.
True. Well, I never really do it while I'm running. That's my little secret. I always post about 5 hours later.
Nobody ever knows where I'm at. Okay, so what do they got going?
Back on my feet, Chicago is hosting the Mardi Gras Chaser 5K and 10K up at Montrose Beach.
Mm-hmm.
There still is registration today and race day registration, and all participants receive festive Mardi Gras swag and beads.
Fun.
All that fun stuff, yeah.
Okay.
Tomorrow, at 10 a.m.
Okay. DeSalvo, what last name? What's your, where's your family from?
Lots of Italian.
A lot of Italian. That's what I figured. Irish in you or no?
I do. I have a quarter Irish in me, thanks to Grandma Rosemary.
Oh, thanks, Grandma Rosemary. I got a little Irish in me, too, which means I should head to the Chicago Irish Film Festival.
Ooh.
That runs on Sunday. Tickets are just $5. That's a good date there. Go to ChicagoIrishFilmFestival.com for venue and time listings. Fun. What else you got, Jen?
All right. Well, Saturday Night Live, the experience has been over at the Museum of Broadcast Communications for over about a
Have you been yet, Jen?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, good.
I did a whole, like, 10-minute piece on there.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, video.
That's great.
But Bobby Monahan has come into Chicago, so he will be interviewed actually tomorrow night by our very own Dean Richards. So admission's $35, and there's still tickets available. The doors open at 6 p.m., and that is right off of the river on State Street, just north of the river in downtown Chicago.
That's Bobby Moynihan.
Bobby Moynihan. Okay, very good. Mardi Gras bash tomorrow night at 8 o'clock at the Chicago Cultural Center. Do you get into Mardi Gras, Jen, at all?
Just the punchkis.
Exactly, just the punchkis on Tuesday. And I just don't think it's a thing, obviously, here in Chicago. We're pretty far separated from New Orleans. Don't really do too much with it.
Well, our news director is from New Orleans.
So, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
It'll be a little bit of a thing here.
All right. That'll be fun. What do you got for us next? Oh, I didn't mention that tickets are Eventbrite starting at $10 for the Mardi Gras bash tomorrow night at the Cultural Center.
Not going to set you back too much.
Yeah.
Well, at Rosemont all this weekend, the Allstate Arena, the Monster Truck Rally, Monster Jam.
Yeah. Have you done that? That's a lot of fun.
I haven't. I think my niece and nephew are going this weekend, and I'll see them afterwards.
I'm not a car guy. I'm not a truck guy. I'm not a man's man in many ways. That's a weird thing to say. Hope that doesn't end up on Nick D's show next week. But I didn't think that revving engines would be cool. I guess I don't know how else to say that. I didn't think it would be for me, and I've covered it a few times for the Jam.
Uh-huh.
Our own Brandon Pope went out there this morning, and it's really cool. I'm not into like the big trucks thing, but I was into it a lot more than I thought it was. It's a good family fun.
Oh, neat.
And
yeah,
the drivers are really cool. They're great, so do that if you can. My turn, I guess. The Polar Plunge is this weekend. Oh, man, it's going to be cold. We got an Arctic chill coming in Sunday, and that's taking place Sunday at North Avenue Beach at 10 a.m. It's the 19th annual Polar Plunge benefiting the Special Olympics, always for a great cause.
Have you ever done that before?
No, and I was thinking about trying to do it this year, but I just saw the low temperatures on Sunday. I don't know anymore, but I think that's part of the fun, right? That's what you're supposed to do.
I did it 2 years ago. It was like 55 degrees.
Oh, really?
Oh, it was awesome.
Does that even count as a polar plunge?
Not at all.
This is like a polar vortex plunge coming up on Sunday. Congrats to everyone that does it. I'll happily donate a few dollars to watch someone else jump in the water for me.
By the way, those words polar vortex are like swear words in my ears.
Oh, yeah. You hear that and you just...
Well, I just have such a negative reaction.
Just hit the dump button.
Yeah, I was going to say, you have the control of the dump button, Ella.
Jen, 630 asked, how much is the Monster Truck bashed? Was that in your listing there?
I didn't, but let me look it up really quickly.
Yeah, I think they're about $20 usually. They're pretty well priced. I know that I think a family of four can get there for under $100, I want to say. Maybe kids get in for a discount. Sometimes they have like a party on Saturdays and Sundays beforehand, too.
Oh, yeah, they're like $20.
Yeah, $20.
$35 if you want the real good seats.
Oh, yeah, get close. Although it is loud wherever you go. I've done live shots in there when they've revved those engines. You can't hear the studio. You can't hear the person next to you that you're interviewing.
What's the exhaust like?
Oh, it's smelly.
Okay.
It's smelly. It's exhausty.
See, I suffer from asthma, and so that probably...
I'm sure they would say it's fine. I'm sure it's safe, but maybe not. I don't know.
Hand out face masks.
Yes, exactly. All right. Hey, there's a pig feast going on at, I don't know what this word is, Elif. Koshan. What is that? What is Koshan, Elif? Sounds fancy.
Well, it means pig in French.
Oh, okay. Well, not anymore.
It's a restaurant.
All right. French pig feast going on Sunday. Ages 21 and up for some tastings. All parts of the pig, I imagine. Cool.
Yeah.
Vegetarians and vegans, just put your earmuffs on. All right, Jen, what else we got?
So on Saturday, the Oak Forest Fla 5K and Parade is going to close down Cicero from 151st to 159th. This takes place at 8:30 a.m., and you can still jump in the parade, participate in the parade with a bike or roller skates.
Cool.
Or join in that 5K. It's at www.oakforest.org.
Oh, cool stuff. You went into traffic mode there when you were reading the streets that were going to be blocked off. The Logan Square Farmers Market is on Sunday morning at 10. Wow, a farmers market now?
Is it outside?
What is there to sell? Yeah, it is. It looks like it's outside. It's in the market at 2363 North Milwaukee Avenue. Sunday morning at 10 a.m. I know a lot of them start in March. I don't know what you're going to sell.
Wait, that's by the Chicago sign, isn't it?
Yeah, it must be. I don't know.
No, the
Chicago, whatever, Welcome to Chicago or Chicago Greetings. Yeah,
Logan's. 2363 North Milwaukee Avenue is Emporium.
Okay, so maybe it's inside. Maybe it's at a bar.
Well,
I don't know.
Video games, beers, and a farmer's market.
Oh, so it's inside. Okay. I still don't know where they're getting any vegetables that have been grown. Maybe some leftover squash.
Oh, my gosh.
From the fall. Okay. Do you got any more, Jen, or is that what we're ending up on?
Manhattan. There's also an Irish Fest parade. But yeah, I just have closures associated with
it. Okay. Are you going to go into traffic mode again or no?
US 52 between North and Burns. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it's a fun weekend. There's a lot of stuff to do. Jen, you got any big plans for the weekend? Sounds like it. Yeah.
Well, my husband got hurt on the ice a couple of weeks ago, so he's been down. And you know, friends do meal train things when this type of stuff happens, when somebody has a baby or, you know, somebody gets sick. So we have a few different groups of friends coming over and bringing meals and visiting and stuff like that.
Oh, that's awfully sweet. Yeah. I'll be here. I'm here for Pliers, so that really ruins the whole weekend because that's the middle of the night. So that's
Saturday to Sunday.
I'll be in for Plier. But tonight we're gonna go see a comedy show. I think there's so many choices. Annoyance Theater, I.O. Just pick and choose. You can go to anything you want.
You stay up late?
I go see the 8 o'clock show, and I'm lucky if I make it halfway through. All right, that's what's happening this weekend. There's also a couple movies coming out. We're going to talk to Blockbuster Blake Stubbs after this on 720 WGN. WGN 248 here on this Friday afternoon. John Hanson here for John Williams, just for a few more minutes. By the way, we got some housekeeping here. A few winners to mention for John's weekly Bright Side of Life pin giveaway. Congratulations to Nancy, Mike, Judy, William, and Philip. And we're talking about the pins, these limited edition, the Bright Side pins to keep or share with a friend to brighten their day. How sweet. Presented by Joint Relief Institute. Call 708-888-0000, as in zero pain. Oh, the Bright Side. Be back next Friday, I am sure. Okay, so we were talking about events, things to do around the area coming up. But, of course, the weekends means going to the movies. And for that, I go to Blockbuster Blake. Blake, how you doing? Joining us on the phone.
Doing well, John. How are you doing today?
Oh, doing great. It's Friday. It feels good.
I mean,
Friday's for you. You're probably gearing up. You know, you see a lot of movies over the weekend. You're probably gearing up for some.
I do. Actually, there's one particular film this weekend coming out called Greta that I was intrigued by a few months back when I saw the first trailer, mainly because of the cast. But now I'm hearing that it's actually pretty good, and it's a psychological thriller. Now, give you the little quick hit. Greta stars Isabelle Huppert, who was Academy Award nominated actress for Elle just a couple of years ago, and Chloe Grace Moretz. And it's sort of a psychological thriller that sort of has a slow burn, I think, at the beginning, and then it goes into overdrive. At least that's what I'm hearing, those are the type of movies I like, especially when we're in that, you know, post-Oscars, pre-blockbuster phase, and with Captain Marvel coming out next week and the big kickoff. This is the kind of movie that I think I'm in line to see this weekend for sure.
And, normally this time of year, is this where we see a slowdown on these big releases?
Well, here's the thing. This is I don't want to call it a complete doldrum in releases, because you're going to get, I think with the advent of streaming services, we're due to get a big action blockbuster type film next week that stars Ben Affleck and a host of other actors called Triple Frontier. And then, and that should be on the 6th. And then here next Friday, well, technically Thursday night, Captain Marvel drops. And then we're going to start seeing the bigger stuff roll out. So anything really good that people typically try to see and then maybe forget or have, you know, limited release access to, it's going to trickle in around this time of year. Or it's going to be held off until later in the year, because then they're going to want to go into awards season. So this is one of those times where if you're not one who pays extra attention to what's getting released, maybe start, because there's probably going to be something out there for you that, you know, honestly, you're not going to want to miss.
Yeah. A lot of people try and see all the Best Picture nominees before the Academy Awards, but a lot of people don't hear about any of them or really know much about them until after the awards. Are there any releases still out there, extended runs, anything that we should be aware of, or just any way to find a movie that you are really saying that after those Academy Awards, what piqued your interest? If people haven't seen it yet, they got a couple weeks here before some big movies come out, what should they try and go see now?
Well, as of right now, the big things that I would try to get out and see are anything that is going to be lingering. So, for example, one of the Oscar winners still might be in some theaters, which is Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse.
Okay.
Beautiful film. It won Best Animated. If you have a chance to see that on a big screen, get out there and see it. That would probably be the one movie I would tell people to rush out and see, mainly because it could have, you know, had a lot more attention if there were more categories that befit an animated film at the Oscars, but it did win the big trophy. And everything else pretty much came out quite a bit earlier in the year, like Incredibles 2, for example. But this one still got some lingering screen time out there on a big screen, and it's gorgeous. So get out there and see it, yeah, for sure.
And Blake, I know that you were on with Dane Neal on Monday morning after the Oscars when he was filling in for Nick Vigilio, so you've already said your piece. But just one more reaction, Green Book. We talked about it earlier in the week. Your final thoughts, I guess you could say, put a close on the Green Book. Your thoughts on that winning Best Picture? I know it's a few days afterwards, but still like to hear your input.
Sure. Green Book is a fine film. It's beautifully acted. I was a very big fan of the performances in that film. However, I was a bit shocked that it took home the Best Picture trophy, to be quite honest with you. I had my eyes set on a couple of other films in the category, like The Favorite or Roma or Black Klansman, for that matter. However, it is a good film. I mentioned this to Dane when we were talking about the films throughout the weekend, actually, because you and I were talking about things like, you know, stuff that won that was a bit overrated. I think in years to come, it might be looked back on that Green Book was a film like that, similar to Crash, when Crash won. Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean it's a bad film. Just wasn't exactly the best picture that year. However, for me, I saw Green Book a bit late, and so while I really appreciated the movie and I didn't feel that it was best picture personally, I do think that I had a hard time thinking of that movie in any context other than an Oscar contender.
Yeah.
You know, where did it fall in that stack? Now, it's a good film. I think people should see it. I think people should also see Black Klansman. I think people should definitely see Roma because it's a very personal story. Now, again, the Academy makes choices sometimes that they line up with what they're trying to accomplish in the long run, which is, you know, in this case, over the last few years, they've received a lot of criticisms.
Yeah.
So this is a film that I think they were attempting to sort of right some wrongs or some you know, bad impressions they left with audience members out there. Because, again, the Oscars are the biggest broadcast award show anywhere, worldwide.
Right.
So I think that Green Book's a good film. Yeah. I personally would not have voted it Best Picture.
And people can decide for themselves that Green Book's still running in its Chicagoland theaters. Really quickly, Blake, yeah, I wanted to tease what we're going to talk about when we're talking on the Dave Plyer Show as I fill in on Sunday early morning. Rotten Tomatoes, if you could just tease this, what they've changed how they've done their ratings?
Yeah, so with the upcoming release of Captain Marvel, Rotten Tomatoes had a lot of user input over the years on what films, you know, when a film was getting released, you could even weigh in on how excited you were to see it and things like that. They've done a bit of an overhaul, and I don't want to talk too much about it, but there was a lot of toxicity with regards to a movie that is not even out yet, that by all indicators of what is a good, potentially a good blockbuster film, it's checked every box. So I'm intrigued as to where this is going to go, but with Rotten Tomatoes doing a bit of an overhaul, I think there's a good conversation to have there. Mm-hmm. So I'm looking forward to us chatting about it, for sure.
Exactly. All right, Blockbuster Blake. So Greta, anything else that you see coming out this weekend, or is that pretty much the one everyone's talking about for this weekend?
That's pretty much the one everybody's talking about. It's also, and by everybody, I mean it's the one that everyone's going to have easy access to. So Greta, if you're looking for a thriller, put it on the map. Go see it if you get a chance, for sure.
Blockbuster Blake, thanks so much for your time. We appreciate it.
Thank you. You guys have a great weekend.
Yeah, you too. Blake Stubbs, movie critic, chiming on in. 720 WGN, John Hanson in for John Williams just for another couple minutes. We've been talking a little bit, of course, what happened, and I completely forgot, LF, to mention the news click that we do, that John Williams does every single day. And the poll from yesterday, you guys did this last one yesterday, I imagine, right? Yeah. Or was it a couple days ago the last time you did the news click? It was yesterday, and it was, who do you trust more? And this is obviously after the hearing between Michael Cohen and the House Oversight Committee. Do you trust Donald Trump or do you trust Michael Cohen more? And Donald Trump came in at 10%. Michael Cohen came in at 90%, which I'm kind of surprised. I mean, I know our listeners run the gamut on the political spectrum. I see it all the time in the text lines. Pretty surprised that the number was that vast of a difference between them. Not saying that one should be more trusted over the other. Not making my opinion known on that. I think you know where I stand on that. But kind of surprising to see it as a 90-10. Elif, any big plans this weekend? What are you up to? You getting out of the house? You doing anything fun?
I'm doing something tonight. I'm going to have some ramen with a friend, and the rest of the weekend is mine.
It's all yours?
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those relaxing sit down.
Let me just tell you, I haven't done this in weeks.
Please tell.
I haven't done this in weeks.
Oh, done nothing. No, you haven't done absolutely nothing in weeks.
Exactly.
See, I have, with this weather, and we've had some real bad weekend weather over the last, boy, I don't know, 6, 7, 8 weekends. It seems like every Friday night, a snowstorm's about to come, and then we get the plunge in temperatures. I have watched so much Game of Thrones over the last 7 weeks that I am almost completely caught up. Each weekend, we almost did all of season 6 in one day last weekend, just sitting there. I know I should be doing more with my time. I should be donating my time. I should be out there volunteering, doing really cool projects. But man, on a Saturday, when the weather is just crap, it is nothing better than just to turn that on and just sit there and veg out.
And you know what? The cold weather is not good on your body.
Yeah.
And it makes you tired and, yeah. It
makes your skin dry.
Yeah.
Exactly. So I'm doing my body a service of sitting there on that couch. Probably not ordering as much pizza as I should. I should be really going into that. Making a nice homemade soup. I've been doing homemade chicken noodle soup.
Love that.
That I just eat throughout the whole week. It's been great. I plan another weekend like that, except for Sunday morning when I will be on with Dave Plyer.